You're listening to an OTM Podcast Extra. I'm Bob Garfield. Last week, we devoted an hour to the Zika virus, the latest exotic disease to cause a media panic. That virus is suspected of causing the birth defect microcephaly when pregnant women are infected, and scientists are working to confirm the connection. Meantime, a new panic took hold this weekend when an alternate theory about microcephaly tore across the internet. The trigger was a story on the digital news site Tech Times, which unskeptically passed along the allegation that a common pesticide, not Zika at all, is to blame for microcephaly cases in Brazil. The uproar was enough to get one Brazilian state to suspend the use of the pesticide. This week, Anna Amendrala of the Huffington Post wrote, quote, "A viral story links the Zika crisis to Monsanto. Don't believe it." Anna, welcome to On the Media.
Hi, thanks for having me.
This is so much like the anti-vax movement, only a lot faster to take hold and, you know, with insects. When did you first see this larvicide theory floated?
I first saw it over the weekend, Valentine's Day, actually, because a lot of people on my Facebook feed, including George Takei, the actor, had posted a link to this Tech Times story, you know, with messages like, "Interesting, raising questions, we need to discuss this." Seemingly neutral, but actually quite problematic messaging. As I got deeper into the Tech Times story, I saw that they had reported on this study that the Argentinian doctors had written uncritically, and that's what disturbed me about it.
Those Argentinian doctors from this anti-pesticide interest group, the Tech Times piece used language like, "The evidence is overwhelming." Mm-hmm. But the evidence isn't overwhelming. It's rather underwhelming. Summarize for me, please, the argument made by these Argentinian activists and why they really don't bear up to any scrutiny.
Well, one of the main points of this study is the fact that certain towns and municipalities in parts of Brazil started treating their water supplies with a larvicide that had an active ingredient called pyroproxifen. And they thought that, oh, isn't this an interesting coincidence that this started about 18 months ago? And then now, almost 2 years later, women are starting to have these birth defects. The second thing that they point out that was huge for a lot of people who read it was that Colombia also has thousands of Zika virus cases, including more than 5,000 cases of pregnant women with Zika, and they have yet to report a single microcephaly case. And then finally, they appear to link the manufacture of this larvicide to Monsanto, which is sort of catnip for a lot of eco-conspiracy theorists online that, you know, this is a big, bad, evil company, and of course, they're probably linked to this.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will concede to you that it's eyebrow-raising that these cases of microcephaly do correlate with the introduction of pyroproxifen in the water supply. However, I had some immediate follow-up questions which didn't seem to be posed by the authors of the Tech Times piece. Namely, pyroproxifen is one of the more widely used pesticide agents in the world, and there doesn't seem to be any correlation with microcephaly any other place in the world where it's used, including flea collars that you might have on your dog or cat right now.
That's right. It's a very mild chemical that is lethal to mosquitoes, but doesn't really affect us because it affects a hormone system in the insects that human beings and vertebrates in general don't even have.
And kind of disappears and exits the human system more or less intact.
Right. One of my sources that I got from my story, Professor Ian Musgrave of Australia, said that a person would have to drink over 1,000 liters of this treated water in order to feel any negative effects at all.
All right. Now, I understand you're not an epidemiologist, at least of pathogens, but you did some very good epidemiology of journalism, trying to figure out how this so easily went viral. I guess it had all of the elements so familiar to us from the anti-vax movement.
What we have here is a story that people want to believe because the photos that we're seeing out of the hospitals and homes in Brazil of families affected by microcephaly, of the babies that are affected by this potentially really severe disability for the rest of their life, they're heartbreaking. It's a really scary problem, made all the more scarier by the fact that the world's top scientists are saying, we don't exactly know what causes it, and we're doing our very best to find out what it is, and we strongly suspect that it's Zika virus. So you have this unknown, you have this tragic medical consequence, and then you have the introduction of Monsanto. You know, it turns out that Monsanto isn't even involved in the sale or manufacture of this larvicide, so that was an important point for me to point out as well in the story.
Right. They have done business with the Japanese manufacturer of paraproxifen, but they are not partners in this. They don't manufacture it. That Japanese company is not a subsidiary of Monsanto. They have exactly nothing to do with this story. But they do fill the role of evil with a capital E, much like microcephaly plays the part that autism does in the anti-vax stories. It's every parent's worst nightmare. And there's more. There's the whole kind of University of Google approach. People, you say, want to understand. But more than that, when they read this six-page manifesto, they believe that they've got the goods, that there it is in black and white.
Right. The desire to understand is rooted in a fear and a need to protect yourself and the people that you love from this severe microcephaly that they're seeing in Brazil. So a lot of people, I think, find it comforting that, oh, if it's this larvicide, then we should just stop using the larvicide. Then that means there's no global threat to anyone else. But, you know, because scientists know that mosquitoes are the most facile spreaders of Zika virus, and that this particular mosquito is so hard to control, so hard to kill, and that it loves living with us in our homes, that's a way scarier reality for people to face.
So in this case, if you buy into this kind of crackpot theory, the cure promises to be way worse than the disease.
Right, exactly. The reason that this larvicide is in the water is to protect people not just from Zika virus, but from other mosquito-borne diseases that feel way worse than Zika virus does for the general population. And, you know, if this conspiracy theory ends up influencing more Brazilian states to stop using the larvicide in water or in other places, it might result in even more tragic outcomes as people are less and less protected from these mosquitoes.
I used the word nightmare a minute ago. You actually had one?
Yes, that's right. I had read the Tech Times story in bed, and when I went to sleep, I dreamt that this larvicide causes microcephaly hypothesis became accepted fact in this world, and all my teeth crumbled into my mouth. I was just disappointed that so many people that I trusted on Facebook, and, you know, and celebrities too, were posting this story and wagging their finger. And I was just afraid that what's basically a conspiracy theory would become accepted truth.
The internet and all of the baloney that resides on it live in perpetuity. I guess this is never going away. On the other hand, Huffington Post has a lot of reach, and it comes up high in Google searches. And I'm curious to think whether your intervention is going to be all it takes to put the kibosh on this particular rumor.
Well, if you think about conspiracy rumors and theories in general, more facts lead to digging into the conspiracy theory, right? That's generally what scientists understand about people who are conspiracy-minded. But I did get a little good sign today that Mark Ruffalo, one of the actors who had initially tweeted about this larvicide microcephaly connection, actually retweeted my story and said, this is the truth about this theory. So, you know, that's one mind changed.
Yeah, I was observing that you're not an epidemiologist. But, of course, this is a world in which we're taking our medical advice from George Takei and Mark Ruffalo. So I don't know. What's the moral of this story?
I guess my advice to my friends would be to click through on the links that are being connected to the story, because I think what people will find is that if they read this six-page document for themselves instead of reading coverage around it, then they, too, are going to quickly realize that, hey, there's a lot of holes in this thing.
All right. Anna, thank you very, very much.
Thanks for having me.
Anna Almendrala is Senior Healthy Living Editor for The Huffington Post. You've been listening to an OTM podcast extra. You can find more OTM on our website, onthemedia.org, or follow us on Twitter at onthemedia.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.